Well, you need to read verses 2 through 9 if you haven't read them already, but I suggest you go back and listen to Romans if you haven't. But still, he talks about, in verse 4, how that whereby, meaning by his grace, and by, well, because it was grace, let's see, according to his divine power, given us all things that pertain to life and godliness to the knowledge. Well, let's read it. It always bears reading. Grace and peace be multiplied. Let's see, grace and peace multiplied. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby, through which, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. I think it's the calling. And all it is divine, or really, it's the divine power is what's giving us these things. These promises, and that by these. How is it that promises give us anything? Really? By these. Because why? God promised Abraham, at this time shall Sarah have a son. Abraham, seeing his own old flesh and looking at Sarah's barren womb, did not faint at the promise of God, but believed, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And lo and behold, she had a baby. So, by believing in the promises of God, these promises, by believing in them, we become partakers of the divine nature, as it says in verse 4 of 2 Peter chapter 1. We, by believing in these promises, we become partakers of the divine nature. That means the nature of God. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And the rest of it bears repeating, but we're not going to repeat it right now. Add to your faith virtue. Because faith, right, gives us these things, but we need to add to our faith, right? We need to add to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. And this isn't the works of the law. These are the things of the Spirit that God gives. Not according to the fleshly table, or to the stony tablets written by Moses, but according to the fleshly tables of the heart, wherein God, by his Spirit, writes things in you, that you are able to partake of such glorious things as virtue and temperance and the divine nature. So, the corruption is in the world through lust. Now back to Galatians verse 4. You know, he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. See, what is evil about the world? Well, it's the corruption that is in the world. It is the lust within man that seeks after the things of the world and the corruption of it. In the book of Romans, you remember we talked about the things in the world and the corruption of the world that causes sin. You know, I have nothing to go back to right there right now. And we may go deeper in it, but that was enough. You know, I could also quote to you from Romans 12:1. Be ye not conformed to the image of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of his mind. See, he was trying to deliver us, and how we are delivered is by being transformed into the image of Christ. That's why he gave himself for our sins, that we could be delivered from this world and transformed into his image, which is sinless, righteous, perfect. And that perfect is not just sinless perfect, it's also doing the right things. It's also being accepting and being appointed to affliction. That's how you become like Christ. Offering our bodies as living sacrifices, sometimes even dying sacrifices. But the thing is, you can die, but how much better is it to live? Meaning, people want to die for God, and that's great, but What about living for God? See, it's easy to just die for God. Well, not always, but I mean, it's simple. It's not very complicated, is it? You give your testimony and you die. But to live for God, day in, day out, while the world hammers away at you, that's really glorious. So grace and peace. Remember in that 2 Peter chapter 1, it tells you what that grace and peace is for. And this is all according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory. You know, the meaning, everything. We learn this from Romans 9, that everything happens by God's will, what He wants. It's not of the will of man or of the deeds of man, but it's what God wants to do with you, with the world, with everything. It's all God's will. That is how salvation operates. It all operates in grace according to God's will, not according to man's will or to man's doctrine, but according to what this word teaches. Verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now that's pretty heavy stuff if you ask me. Paul cursing something twice. What do you mean? He repeated it. Like, don't think I just said that in passing. I mean, consider that in Romans, later on, he would write, because most people believe, that Romans was written later. I don't usually like to get into that because I was like, well, how do I know? You know, how do I know they're right? I think it was in Romans 12 that, no, it's in Romans 12, actually. 12, 4. Yeah, he had said, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Why do I bring that up? Well, don't curse. See, some people, the problem with a lot of people is when they try to understand the Bible, they don't know the whole Bible, and they haven't, you kind of have to enter all the information into your head